Praise the Lord. It feels good in here tonight. And I'm excited because I know God's not done yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I do want to just give honor to Pastor Roberts again for allowing us to be here. Thank you for your hospitality, just taking care of us. Thank you so much. And I give honor to Brother Nick Roberts. I serve on the youth committee with him, and I'm so glad that we have his excellence in the committee. And so thank you, wherever you are, Brother Nick Roberts. So, and Brother Nate Roberts, we could not do Midwinters without the Robert brothers. Our young people need them to keep them occupied and wake them up in the morning on that Saturday. So we are so thankful for the Robert family here in Ohio. So thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. My wife's going to sing. I used all my singing voice this morning, so she's got it tonight. But just worship with her. You can be seated. Worship with her as she sings.
Can we love Him right now? Come on. Hallelujah. How great is our God. How great. There's no name greater than that name. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. I just want to get out of the way here quickly. We have a baptism. We're baptized Sister Nautica after service. Amen. Looking forward to that. Amen. Worship.
Hallelujah. How great is our God. Out with the voice of triumph for the victory. And most of the time, before there was a great victory, just by show of hands, who likes to have a great victory? Who wants to have a great victory? I want to have a great victory. But if Scripture tells us anything, before a great victory, there is always great worship. And that's not a cliche thing to say. God requested. He told His people, you don't have to lift a sword or a shield. Most of the time when He brought about a great victory from great oppression or into promise, all He asked them to do was to lift their voice. That's all. And blow some trumpets. Lift their voice and blow some trumpets. It is so easy to experience revival with God. We make it so hard at times, but if someone will just get beside yourself and begin to let out a shout for victory. Hallelujah! Yes! I want victory! Hallelujah! Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I could only imagine at the walls of Jericho, when they stood at the wall that was much greater than them, that was representation that if they could not conquer this wall, they could not enter into their promise. So this great wall is standing before them, but yet if they were to shout, God said, shout, and the walls fell down. But if they shouted, I'm sure it wasn't, yes, Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I don't know why I'm doing this. I just feel like it's what you want me to do. I'm being obedient. I bet if you could teleport there and transfer to that time and that moment, I guarantee you there would be such a great shaking because everybody shouted with such a great shout with everything they had. So I wonder if we could just do that. If we could just shout right now with everything you have. Jesus! Hallelujah! I love you! I worship you! I want to see victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There was a great revivalist in the 1700s whose name was John Wesley. And he began to attract such great crowds, and the news media at that time begin to interview him, and these reporters would come out and ask him, how are you able to draw such a great crowd to your preachings and to your teachings? And his response was very simple. He said, it's this simple. He said, I just set myself on fire and people come to watch me burn. I'm here to tell you here, Church of Pentecost in Cleveland, if you would just begin to set yourself on fire, this city will come to watch you burn. So my question to you, who is it going to be? Who is going to set themselves on fire in 2020 so people could come watch you burn? Who will set yourself on fire tonight? Because there are souls. Some of them might mock you. Some of them might make fun of you. But it doesn't matter. All that matters is that they would come and they would hear the good news. That they would come and they would experience a great revival. That's all that really matters. Get beside yourself in 2020. Now, I talked about this morning that to let your eye be on the harvest, because 2020 is a year of great harvest for the church. If you're going to expect this great harvest, it takes a lot of work. And we already talked about that there's refreshment for you if you get weary. But there's a part here that you're going to have to expand in yourself. And if you're a runner or you do anything that's athletic, you're going to have to exercise and work out to expand your endurance. I wish I could tell you right now I could run a 7-minute mile, but that would be a lie. I could maybe do an 11 minute mile right now. If I would like to get to 7 minutes, I'm going to have to increase my endurance. But that's how it works in the physical. It also works that way spiritually. If you want to see greater things, you're going to have to expand your spiritual endurance. And so that means when you start praying, if you were to pray right now for 30 minutes, would it be that after about 10 minutes, your prayer would transition from just kind of doing what you know and just transition to, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Touch so-and-so, Lord. And it just kind of is repetitive. And I'm not trying to call someone out, but I'm just trying to say the reason why it ends up turning to some repetitiveness is because that spiritual endurance needs to be increased. And so we're going to need to pray more than we've ever prayed in 2020 to see a great harvest. We're going to have to fast more than just these 21 days. In the beginning of the year, we're going to have to increase our spiritual endurance. And so as we begin to understand that it's time to stretch yourself, it's time to get out of your comfort zone. If you're going to expand your endurance, increase it, there's going to be a point of uncomfortableness. You're going to get some soreness in your muscles spiritually, and you're going to begin to experience some of this stuff, but you need to stretch beyond yourself tonight. So that means you might wake up with no voice. You might wake up tired. You might wake up spiritually sore. And I know we have to go to work on Monday. But you're going to have to make up your mind that it's worth it. You're going to have to make up your mind. I said it this morning. Make a vow to the harvest. Commit to the harvest. I want to preach to you tonight out of Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 18. It said, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up as a pillar and poured oil up on top of it. And he called the name of that place place, Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Now, I want to preach to us tonight on this thought: memorials and monuments. Memorials and monuments. Can we pray that God would open our heart, expand our capacity tonight to receive more of Him, that He would increase our spiritual endurance? Can we do that right now? Father, I thank You for what we feel here, for what we experienced this morning. But God, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that You would begin to increase our capacity to grow in You, that You would increase our spiritual endurance. God, I'm praying that You would give us revelation and understanding of Your Word, that it would shape us, that it would grow us tonight. I thank You, Lord. Anoint my lips and my mind that I might speak Your Word with boldness tonight, with clarity. In the name of Jesus, I pray. To You be all the glory and all the honor. Amen. Amen. Can we clap our hands one more time? Yes, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. You can be seated. From the very beginning of human existence, we have always had a way of preserving our history and experiences. These were passed down through stories from generation to generation. And just to give you an idea of how they were able to pass down these stories, you know, Noah heard these great stories about his great 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 grandfather Adam and his great 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 grandmother Eve, and he heard these first account stories. Just to give you an idea, his father was still alive when Adam and Eve were still alive. So Noah was able to really get a first-hand account of the creation story, of what took place. So when you say, oh, how could they know? Couldn't they have mixed the stories up from generation to generation? Yeah, that could happen, but for the Noah or Adam lived a very long time, so he could pass the story down to several generations of his family. And so they would pass these stories down from generation to generation. And some were even preserved in drawings and writings and these ancient hieroglyphics. And as we advanced in knowledge and trades and crafts, we would erect these great statues and these great monuments to represent crucial moments in history or in time. These things that shaped our cultures and shaped our communities, and even the Egyptians would form these great pyramids, and some of them still stand. 4,000 years old, these pyramids stand. They have stood the test of time, and they are there, and they're memorials and monuments to what took place in those ancient empires. Even the people of God had their memorials and monuments. Most of the time throughout Scripture, and we see here in our main text that they would take stones and they would set them up as a pillar or a memorial to God for what they were experiencing and what they had gone through and what God had did for them. And so they would raise these great memorials. And the problem we have, even today, we still have these memorials and these monuments all over the United States. We have World War II and Civil War monuments, and we have great bridges and different things that represent great parts of our history, great architectural structures. And we have the Empire State Building, and though it wasn't built back then to be a specific memorial, it has been a monument for the growth of the industrial age here in the United States. And so it represents more than just a building there. It represents how we built these great structures. And so we can see these things and we memorialize them. But the problem is the world today is trying to change those memorials and those monuments. They're trying to tear them down and replace them with new things. Not that they're trying to replace them with lies, but they're trying to replace them with a new meaning. And so they're trying to tear the old ones down and put new ones in their place. Here's the reason that it's, if we allow that to happen in our lives, because those memorials and those monuments, they shape our futures. They remind us of what we came from and what we've experienced. So when we go forward, we have that in our foresight. So maybe it's so we don't make that mistake again. Maybe it's to remind us where we come from. Maybe it's to remind us of the great experiences that we've had. But if people can tear those down and replace them with something else, they could change the course of our futures. And so the church, this is even happening in the church. This is happening. We're changing memorials and monuments in the church. And what's happening is it's changing our cultures. It's changing the way we experience God. Because we're changing, we're forgetting about where we came from and what we've done. Now, the Bible says in Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And in Colossians, it says, set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. And we can memorialize so many things here on this earth that we're not focusing on things above. Now, here in the United States, we have what we call Social Security. And when you get to a certain age, you don't have to work anymore and you can draw from this Social Security. But as we know, it's not enough. And so, if you don't have a retirement, it's very difficult to survive on just Social Security. So what we've kind of done as a culture is we've memorialized 401ks and these retirement plans. And we make them an order of importance because of our past experiences. And so, we can memorialize something like that, but then in the church, what are we memorializing? Are we just memorializing and making these monuments of earthly things, or are we doing anything spiritual that we can set up? Now, just stay with me for a moment. I'm getting somewhere. I promise it will get better. But I urge you today, I urge you tonight, it's time to build some spiritual memorials. It's time to build some spiritual monuments in your life. You know the reason why I'm able to stand before you right now, and I've gone through a lot of different trials in my life, in my ministry, is because I've made a memorial in my life that I've said I've given too much to quit. I don't care if somebody wrongs me. I don't care if someone disrespects me. I'm not leaving this thing. I'm going to stay here because I've made a memorial here. I've made some monuments to remind me of where I've come from, of the experiences that I've experienced. And when I get discouraged, or when I'm looking for some counsel, or when I'm looking for some help, I can look back at these memorials and these monuments, and they help me, they encourage me, and they lift me up. So in Genesis, the first memorial I want us to be able to build tonight is found in our main text in Genesis 28, verse 18 through 19. Jacob had this dream of angels ascending and descending from heaven. This is what's taking place, and this is why Jacob did what he did. He had this great dream, this great vision, and when he woke up, he said, I need to memorialize what took place here. And so, as he begins to memorialize, he said it took his pillow and set it up as a pillar. Now, it's not like a pillow that we would use today. Obviously, it was a rock. But also, it wasn't just some little rock that he rested his head on. But back then, it was probably a boulder that he was resting against. His whole body could be against it. And so, he would rest his head on that. But he would probably, it was so large, he could rest his body over it. So it wasn't something that was just kind of like a little pebble on the ground, but it was something big. And he set that up as a pillar to represent what took place there. Now he poured oil on it and he named the place Bethel, which means house of God. This memorial would testify of what Jacob's experience from that moment forward. However, the pillar's most important significance is not that the name that he named that place Bethel, which is house of God, or that it somehow represented the dream. Rather, he would make a commitment to God that day. Jacob vowed that he would give God a tenth or a tithe of everything God would give him from that moment forward. The pillar would go on to represent Jacob's realization that everything he received in his life was given to him by God. Jacob's newfound awareness for his provision of God in his life caused him to give 10% of everything he had, because it was God who would give the increase. Perhaps this is the reason that God allowed Jacob to possess the birthright over Esau. Because Jacob understood that there is a spiritual significance that you can have. And so I'm saying that because this first monument that we need to build is a monument of God is our provision. Jacob built a monument to God that he set it up as a pillar to remind him when he would come there that God was his provision. Now, here's the thing. I'm not trying to teach on tithes. I'm not trying to that's pastor's job. But I am trying to tell you, so many times we get, and I was here, I've been here, I've gone through this battle myself, about our tithes and our offerings, and I would pray, but so many times we give tithe and offering out of obligation. We give it because we feel like, well, pastor preaches it, and we know that he might see it in the books, and so we still need to give it. But Jacob didn't have that mentality with his tithes. His tithes meant, hey, his tithe was a memorial that represented God is my provision. And so if you want to set up a memorial today that God is your provision, you need to make up your mind. When I give into the offering, when I give my tithes, it's to understand that God is my provision. He will provide for me. He takes care of me. And because he does, I will give of myself to him. And this is why you need to do this. Because as you give your memorial of provision, and you say, hey, tithing isn't just something that I have to do. It's something that I've memorialized and said, this is my provision that God gave me. It's God's provision for my life. I'm memorializing it. Your kids will begin to memorialize it. When you memorialize something and you set it up where people can see and your family can see and you raise your family, hey family, we're going to get together and everything we receive, we're going to give a tithe to the Lord. We're going to give part of that increase back to him because we're thankful for his provision. These memorials and these monuments are going to help us increase a harvest this year. Now, as believers, we need to recognize these spiritual memorials in our life. The second memorial we can find in Exodus 3 and 15. It says, "Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" Now Moses was God had appeared to Moses in a burning bush and said, "You need to go and set my people free in Egypt." And Moses, being timid and shy and saying, "I can't do that, Lord, I have a stutter." And then he says, "Well, who am I even going to say is sending me?" And he begins to tell him, "I am his sending you." And then he says this, that this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to every generation. All generation means from that moment to the end of time. If there's some generation being born, it's for them. So in other words, it's for everybody. This is his name, and it's to every. Why is that so important? We need to build a memorial of his name in our life. If we're going to have any spiritual success, you need to memorialize the name of Jesus. Why do you need to do that? Why? Because back here in Exodus, in the Old Testament, God said, "I am, and this is my name from generation to generation. Forever, this is my name." Well, that's significant because Jesus, when he came to earth, wrapped himself in flesh, he said, "I am." When they asked him, "Who are you, Jesus?" He said, "I am. Before Abraham was, I am." He was literally saying, just like God spoke to Moses through the burning bush and said, "I am," he was telling the people, "I'm that same God." And you need to memorialize his name in your family and in your life. Why? Because there's so many people out there that are giving you false doctrines, that are saying things that Jesus is just a part of God and he's not all of God. And you need to memorialize this, because your children, if you don't, they could be swayed by some of this other teaching. And I'm not trying to knock anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, it's time to set up some memorials. It's time to set up some monuments spiritually that will keep you in this thing forever. The third memorial is found in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one take up a stone on his shoulders according to the numbers of the tribes of Israel. This may be a sign among you, your children, when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the water of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Now, Church of Pentecost, this next memorial you need to memorialize is that God is a way maker. You need to memorialize that he will make a way for you when there is no way. Now, it says here that they gathered these stones and they set them in the middle of the Jordan. And these stones would stand through time. And when there
children would walk by the river and walk by this area, and they would say, "Mom, what do these stones mean? What does this stone mean? Why are there stones sitting here? What does that represent?" You, as a parent or as someone who knows about that memorial, that monument, you can then explain, "Hey, let me tell you about what God did. God, when we were running away into promise, God made a way. He dried up the Jordan that was rushing so quickly and we could not pass through it. He made a way into our promise." And that's what these stones represent. You need to make some memorials today because your children need you to, because your children need to know what God has done in your life. Now, I'm completely aware that we like to shelter our kids. And I understand that. I'm not a parent, but my parents, I was raised in church, and they sheltered me from a lot. So I understand that there's some good things that benefit from sheltering. But here's what I want to press on you today. When there are trials, when there are struggles, you don't have to hide all of it from your children. You need to say, "Children, we need to pray as a family that God would provide for us. We've made a memorial of tithes that He's our provider, children. We've done this in our life. We've memorialized who He is in our life. He's Jesus, and nobody can change that. And we've memorialized that He will make a way for us." And when you begin to make these memorials, when you begin to set these spiritual monuments up in your family, your kids will grow up knowing, "Hey, when we had financial trouble when we were kids, Mom and Dad said, let's pray, and God made a way for our finances." Some of you parents need to begin to include your kids into some of your financial struggle. Not that they need to go get jobs and help you pay the bills, but that you need to say, "Kids, would you help Mom and Dad pray? I know we can't afford that skateboard, we can't afford that tablet, but if you would pray that God would provide, He might give us enough to afford that." And you could then, when you get that finances and God begins to bless you, and when they get that tablet or they get that skateboard or they get whatever you've been praying about, then they could know, "Hey, I'm not just an American and this is just something we get as Americans, but God provided this for me." You need to memorialize tonight. Because as we go into 2020, into this great harvest, there are going to, if in great harvest, there's still great adversity. There's great struggle. And so if you're going to make it through the great struggle, then you're going to need to memorialize that He is a way maker in your life tonight. Now in Isaiah chapter 43 and 1, it says, "But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." God calls us by name, and we're His. God is very jealous about us. But here's what I want you to understand. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, they shall not burn you, nor shall the flames scorch you." I'm saying that scripture because God was reminding His people. He spoke through the prophet and said, "Hey, I want you to remember that when the rivers or the waters, I shall be with you when you go through the waters. I was with you through the Red Sea, and I'll be with you if there's waters that come in the future. I was with you through the rivers, and they shall not overflow you." The Jordan was the river that was overflowing. And He said, "I was with you then, and I'll be with you in the future if that ever happens. I will be with you." And then He said, "When you walk through the fires, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." In other words, you won't even smell like you went into the fire. And we know that He was reminding them of the three Hebrew children that were in the fiery furnace. Now, why is that very significant in the fact that he is a waymaker? It's very significant because when Israel needed a way of escape from their enemy, from their adversary, God made a way through the Red Sea. And that is that he would be with you through the water. And so if you ever need a way of escape, God will be your way of escape. Some of you need a way of escape tonight. You have come here with your enemy pressing you. You have come here with the enemy all around you. But in the Psalms, he said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. That means when the enemy is all around you, when you feel pressed and you feel crushed and you feel abandoned, God will prepare a table for you. He will provide for you. A table represents his provision. A table represents that he will provide for you. And so in the midst of your escape, when you need a way of escape from the enemy, he has made a place for you. He has made provision for you. He is a way maker through escape. If you need escape, he will make a way through your escape. Now, let's move that to some modern talking here. If you are bound in any addiction, it doesn't matter if it's cigarettes, it doesn't matter if it's drugs, it doesn't matter if it's pornography, I don't care what the addiction is. If you are bound, God can make a way of escape for you. You might feel that you don't know how you're going to quit. You don't know how you're going to stop. I'm here to declare to you, if you will memorialize tonight that God can make a way where there is no way, he will make a way of escape for you. Now it says that the rivers shall not overflow you. The reason he's reminding them of that, that's the Jordan River. He will make a way into promise. If you need a way into your promise, God has given you a word. He has given us the word that 2020 would be a year of great harvest. Okay, we have the promise. But how do we get into the promise? You need to memorialize tonight that he's a way maker. And he will make a way into your promise. You don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know what it's going to look like. But God will make a way into your promise. Pastor, I don't know where the money's going to come from. But he's going to make a way where there is no way. You know what that means for me? That means I could have great faith for a great number. I could have a great amount in my mind. My wife is always reminding me that I need to have such great faith for impossible things because God will make a way where there is no way into the promise that he's promised me. Now, when I, young person, right now, I want every young person to listen to me. I was 17 years old when I wasn't praying, God, make me a preacher. I simply prayed, God, I want more of you. God told me to fast for 30 days at 17 years old. I don't have time to explain it all and get into it, but I did it. I told God, yes, I want more of you. I want to have more of you in my life. So I did it at 17. I prayed and fasted for 30 days. I'm saying that because out of that 30 days, out of that fasting, God spoke to me. He said I would be a worship leader. He said I would be a youth pastor and I would be an international evangelist. I could not even fathom even getting up singing in front of anybody. I could not sing. I could not play an instrument, but I play now piano, drums, guitar, bass, and I'm learning some more instruments every time if I have the opportunity, I want to learn it. And that's not me. That's God calling me to do that. Because I memorialized that he would make a way where there is no way. 2 weeks after I fasted and prayed and God spoke to me that I would be a worship leader, that I couldn't even get up and sight read in class because I would shake and I'd get so embarrassed because I just, I was shy. So the worship leader, 2 weeks later, he did not know anything about me praying and fasting. He didn't know anything about what God had told me. He came up to me at CLC and he said, "What are you doing next week? I want to give you voice lessons. And are you available?" I just said, "Yeah, I'm available. Give me some voice lessons." It was challenging. It was embarrassing at times. I had to do vocal warm-ups and sing some weird stuff. And it was embarrassing because people heard me doing that in the church. And I just felt embarrassed. But I said, "I don't care. If God said that that's what he wants me to do, then I'm going to do it. And I know he will make a way." So that happened when I was 17. But when I turned 21, that was when I began to lead worship. So it did take some time. It took some provision. It took some practice. It took God preparing me. So that happened when I was 17. And when I was 21, on my 21st birthday, I'll never forget it, because 21's a big year for people here in the United States for dumb reasons. But that was a big year for me. And that birthday, I got a phone call and from one of the worship leaders, Laird Silliman. He said, "Hey, I need you to lead worship." I was like fifth string at that time. There were plenty of people that could do it besides me. But one was sick. One was out doing a concert. He had a new CD he released. He was doing that. Someone else was at some conference. And so they didn't have anybody. So they just said, "Hey, you're up. You're on this Sunday night." And I was just like, "Wow, this is my 21st birthday. What a Christmas, or what a birthday present, Lord. Thank you." So it took a couple years. I did not become a youth pastor until I was 23. I did not become an international evangelist until 2019, until I was 32 years old. I'm saying that because God will call you. He will give you great promise, but you're going to have to build some memorials. You're going to have to build some monuments, because there might be some gaps in between the promise. And you're going to have to say, "Hey, I remember when God called me. I remember when God spoke this word to me. I built a memorial about it, and I'm going to look back to it." And so though 15 years later, I can now say that God has fulfilled what he has told me when I was 17. Young person, you can have great promise in your life. You need to make some memorials. You need to make some monuments spiritually tonight, that when God speaks to you tonight, you're just going to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to build that for my life." I got to hurry up. If my wife will come, that might help. The fourth memorial, actually there's one more. So he'll make a way of escape. He'll make a way into promise. But the fiery furnace, that was a way into calling. He will make a way into calling. The three Hebrew children were in a foreign land. They were captives. They were prisoners. But God, because they set a memorial up to God and said, "We will not bow to anyone else but you, Lord." Because they made that memorial in their life that they would not worship any other God. They memorialized that. Because they did that, God made a way into their calling. When they did that and they were not burned up in the furnace, God made a way that they were elevated in their captivity. They were elevated into some of the highest places in the kingdom, because God can make a way into your calling. God will make a way into what he's called you to do. I could stand here for hours and hours explaining what God, how he's opened up doors that I could not open up. How he opened up new things in me that weren't there before. Because he made a way into my calling. The fourth memorial, I'm almost done, is found in Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. There's power that works in you. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. You need to make a memorial tonight that God can do anything. God can do anything. You need to memorialize that as a family. You need to memorialize that as a church. God can do anything. If you need a million dollar building, God can do anything. If you need $2 million, if you need $10 million, God can do anything. God can do anything. God used Philip in the wilderness. Philip was probably saying, God, use me. God, would you send me to somebody? Would you use me? And God says, okay, go to the desert. Go to the desert. Lord, I want you to use me. There's nothing out in the desert. Go to the desert, Philip. What he didn't realize this. He thought he was going to a desert, but really God was sending him to an oasis. Philip saw a desert. God saw the oasis. What you think might be a desert, God has great waters for you. He has an oasis for you. He has a place that's a paradise for you. And so, as he made that way, God used Philip to begin to speak to this Ethiopian eunuch who just happened to be the treasurer of Ethiopia. I'm saying that to say this, is God, if you will have the faith that God can do anything, he will lead you to city officials to help you with building permits. He will lead you to city officials to help you through a building project. He will lead you to the financial people that he needs you to have so he can provide for you. Brother Lamonis in Concord, in Oakland, California, he was telling us of his great testimony on how he got his church building. He said one of the bankers, the owner of the banker, he came and he prayed for him at the hospital, and the miracle took place. He said, how can I repay you? He said, well, we need a church building. The owner of the banker said, but we can't get, he said, we can't get a loan, pastor, to this banker. He said, we can't get a loan. So maybe could you help us get a loan? He said, well, I'm the owner. I can help you get a loan. He said, but I'm going to do something even better. They went to this empty church building, massive church. He said, I'm going to purchase this building for you. But there were several acres on the property. He said, I'm going to use this back acreage. I'm going to build houses on it. I'm going to sell those houses, and you won't even have a mortgage on your property. He built those houses. They didn't even have to, the banker, the owner of the bank, he said, I'm not even out any money. He said, I'm just going to do this for you because you prayed for me and I was healed. God will give you great people if you will begin to memorialize that he can do anything. God can do anything. If we could stand, I'm done with this. So hard. I know that worship and praise is so exhausting at times. I'm very aware of that. At camps, we push the kids to worship and praise God with everything they have. And as youth staff, we get right in there with them and we push them to the very limits of their physical strength. The reason we do that is not just somehow out of obligation or somehow to just make them do things, but we want to express to them, it's okay to give all you have at the altar. It's okay to give your last ounce of strength to God, because God will renew your strength. So in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. This is referring to Jesus. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know whom and what manner of woman this is who touched him, for she is a sinner. Then it says in verse 48, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Her praise and her worship, because she made a memorial of praise, and this is the last memorial I want us to make tonight, is a memorial of praise and worship. The reason when she made her memorial of praise and worship, it unlocked for her forgiveness of sins. It unlocked a way for her to be forgiven of her sins. You know why when you've prayed, God, forgive me, I need you to forgive me of this sin that you've done, and it just feels like it didn't do anything for you? Because you haven't sealed it with some praise and worship. You haven't sealed the prayer with some praise and worship. When you begin to say, God, forgive me of all my sin. Forgive me of all of it. If you just leave it at that, there's no sacrifice. But this woman, she poured out a year's wages at the feet of Jesus. Could you imagine pouring out a year's wages? This is her retirement plan. She poured it all out on the feet of Jesus. She said, it's got to cost me something. It's got to cost me something. Your praise and worship will unlock things for you spiritually. It will unlock spiritual provision. It will unlock spiritual freedom. Your praise and worship does so many things, and you need to memorialize that as a church. You should come. We should never have a service where someone isn't worshiping God. And I'm not just saying clapping. I'm saying we need a memorialized worship to the point. Now, it doesn't have to be everybody, but somebody needs to run the aisles. Someone needs to shout. Someone needs to clap their hands. Someone needs to jump. Someone needs to dance. We need to memorialize worship to God. Well, it's not my personality. I'm sure there's probably, 100 people here? I'm sure that your personalities are not the same. I'm very aware that you are all individuals, and you all have different personalities, and you have all these different gifts and all these different talents. And yes, some of the hurts you've experienced might hinder you from getting out of your comfort zone. But it's time to expand your spiritual endurance tonight and begin to make some memorials and monuments. You need to build them. You need to set them up. Her worship, this woman's worship, cost her money. Her worship cost her pride. Her worship cost her tears. Her worship cost her possibly being cast out. She risked it all. her worship was worth it. And you know what she got? She got forgiven of her sins. She needed that. What do you need tonight? Are you willing to make a memorial for it? If you need healing, can we just, again, if you can physically come, I want you to come to this altar. If you can physically come, I want you to come to this altar. We're going to make some memorials together. Every young person, it's time to make a memorial. You might feel like you're not old enough. Oh, you're very old enough. Josiah was 7 years old when he became king. David was just a shepherd when he was anointed king. God can give you callings right now that you might not go into. David didn't become king until he was very experienced in years. I don't know the exact year, so I can't say it right now. But he was probably in his 30s, maybe 40s, when he became king. He had fought many battles. He had had many discouragements. But because he had a memorial, he had a moment that he memorialized that he was anointed king, he always held on to that. He always held on to that. And you know what? Even his friends held on to his memorial. Jonathan, who was the next rightful king of Israel, said, "No, you have a memorial. You're to be the next king, David. I don't care that I'm supposed to be. I don't care that my dad is king now. You are anointed to be the next king." When you make memorials, your friends can help remind you in times of discouragement. When David was running for his life, Jonathan was there to remind him, "David, I'm here for you. I love you. I'm here to remind you of what God has called you to do." So this is what I want us to do. Again, if you need healing, would you just raise your hand? If you need healing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. God wants you to memorialize something tonight. Your healing might be a memorial to your family. Are you willing to make something? Are you willing to sacrifice something? Every memorial that was ever built cost something. The World War II monuments stand as a representation of all our American troops that were killed. It represents the great victories of a world coming together and fighting for what is right. It cost lots of lives, but it was worth it. Civil War monuments represent things of slavery, slaves being set free. Our country, where we've come from, and where we want to go. Where do you want to go? What memorials are you going to set up tonight? So this is what I want us to do. I want us to begin saying, "God, this is what I feel you're wanting me to do." If God has put a burden in your life, I want you to say, "God, this is my burden. Help me make a memorial of it. I want to make some memorials." Some of you need, you know, let's just do this before we pray. If your family's here, would you just get with your family? Children, husbands, wives, moms and dads, grandparents. And if you don't have your family here, get with someone. If you know someone doesn't have their family here, include them into yours. Don't let someone be alone. Because we're all brothers and sisters. We're all family. We're going to make some memorials together tonight. So this is what I want us to do. I want you to, as a family, We're going to do, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith in just a moment, and God's going to begin to do things in your family. Is everybody have somebody? Everybody has somebody. I don't want anybody to be left alone. There's someone back there that's by themselves. Could you just include them? If they want. This is what I want you to do. I want you to begin saying, I want you to talk with your family and say, family, what can we memorialize tonight? Now just talk to each other right now. Say, what are we going to memorialize? Just begin talking. Talk to your family now. If it's your youth group and you're together as a youth group, say, what are we going to memorialize? Are we going to memorialize that we need a financial blessing in our family? That our family is going to be a better family unit? We're going to reach some lost souls together this year. We're going to worship as a family this year. Okay, let me get your attention one more time. Does everybody have at least one thing? You got one thing. I want you to begin binding together, and I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, and God is going to begin to work in your behalf. He's going to begin to send angels to begin to work in your futures. He's going to begin calling some of you in your families to begin to reach people you never thought you could reach. But when you do it as a family, even if you're struggling as a family unit to pay some bills, then you need to pray as a family unit. Hey, we're going to pray until this bill is met. And when that bill is met, we're going to come to church together and we're going to worship God for the victory. We're going to build that memorial. We're going to build a memorial of tithe, that He's our provision. We're going to build a memorial that Jesus is the only God. There's no other God besides Him. We're going to build a memorial that He's a way maker. We're going to build a memorial that God can do anything. We're going to build a memorial of praise and worship. Can we do that right now? I want us to give it all we have. It's got to cost us something. It's got to cost us something by the authority of the Word of God. In the power of the name of Jesus, I loose faith into every family of Church of Pentecost in Cleveland, Ohio. I loose faith into their families that we would build and set up these spiritual memorials, that we would set up some spiritual monuments right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, I lose faith now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Begin worshiping Him with everything you got. Hallelujah.